Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 2 of Overcoming Temptation. As we turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
There are three things that we need to recognize when it comes to the subject of temptation. This will be what we're going to focus on. And the three things are this. We need to understand how to recognize temptation when it's happening to us. Secondly, we need to know how to avoid temptation. And then thirdly, we need to know how to overcome temptation. So those are the things that we're going to look at. So how do we recognize temptation? Well, this is what we have to, first of all, understand about the devil. The devil is subtle. It's not blatant initially. Initially, it's very subtle. That's how he comes, very subtly initially. Now, he will become more emboldened, and he will become more blatant, and he will become more aggressive the further you go in entertaining these things. But generally, he starts subtly. He sneaks in. And so we recognize, first of all, that Satan is subtle. Secondly, we need to recognize that Satan is an opportunist. So he's always looking for the right moment to strike. He's looking for opportunities. He's looking for weaknesses. He's looking for vulnerability on our part. Have you ever noticed when you're sick how it seems like you just get attacked by the enemy? Have you ever had an experience like that? He kicks you when you're down. You know, he comes and he just pulverizes you when you can't defend yourself. That's just the way he operates. So he's looking for the opportunities, looking for us in a state of weakness, not just physical weakness, but of course, even more so spiritual weakness. So he's subtle, he's an opportunist. And thirdly, Satan is persistent. He's persistent. He's relentless. He doesn't give up. As a matter of fact, we read concerning Jesus that Jesus was tempted and he went through that threefold temptation there. And when that was finished, it says, and the devil left him until an opportune time. So, you know, it never stops. Listen, as long as you're a Christian, as long as you're committed to following Christ in this world, the devil is going to pursue you relentlessly. He's never going to let up. He's always going to be looking for some angle. He's always going to be looking for some opportunity to bring you down. He's always going to be looking for a way to tempt you and to suck you into a trap by getting you to give in to that temptation to whatever sin. And we see his persistence. We see it with Eve. He kept presenting to her over and over again. We see the same thing in the case of Job. If we take another example from Scripture, say David, we see this pursuit of David all through those years where Saul was more or less the tool of the devil and trying to bring David to that point of exhaustion, to that point of discouragement, to that point of just giving up and not trusting God. But then all of that passes and David inherits the promises and he's on the throne and he's doing all the great things that God commissioned him to do and everything is wonderful. And then, you know, a little bit of pride begins to creep in. And pretty soon David, he's just thinking, you know, hey, I'm the king. I don't need to go out and do battles anymore. I can just hang out at home and relax and have fun. And then he sees this lady across the way bathing on her rooftop. And he invites her in and commits adultery. And, of course, the devil was no doubt behind that. But persistently pursuing. And then with Jesus again, we see that. Not just the one temptation, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. But remember, then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Okay, you say you trust God. Well, if you really trust God, God said in his word, throw yourself down and he'll protect you. So do that. Jesus said, no, the scripture also says you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then it says Satan took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'll give you all of this, the devil said to Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me. So you see, he's persistent. He's relentless. And again, he left Jesus for a period of time, looking again for further opportunity. And so just as we see these examples in scripture, you can bet this, Satan will relentlessly persist in tempting you and me. It's just the reality. When we signed up to be Christians, God's people, his servants, we entered into a war. We're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And as Paul reminds us in the epistle to the Ephesians, our battle is against the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's against a host of wicked spirits who control the activity on this planet. And because you're God's child, and because you're God's servant, and because you're a part of God's kingdom that Satan is trying to ultimately, you know, prevent from prevailing, coming into manifestation, he's going to be pursuing us. He's going to be relentlessly attacking us. And one of the things he does is tempts us. Now, again, remember, Satan is subtle. But know this, when you are faced with a suggestion to ignore what God might have to say about a situation, or whenever you begin to question God's word on an issue, or whenever you have thought to rationalize what God has said in order to carry out your own desires, you're being tempted. Now, let me state this. Being tempted is not sinning. It's not a sin to be tempted. You really can't help being tempted, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, we're going to see in a moment that we can certainly put ourselves in places where we might be more susceptible to temptation. So we want to make sure we don't do that. But at the end of the day, we can't prevent ourselves from being tempted because we don't have any control over it. This is just what the devil does. But know that temptation is not sin. It's only when I give in to the temptation. I was talking to a person earlier this week, and we were talking about the issue of same-sex attraction. And what I said to this person is, look, that attraction is not a sin. That's a temptation to sin. We can't help sometimes being tempted. But what we can do is we can refuse to give in to the temptation. So, you know, there are lots of things that are going to come our way. Suddenly we might have a desire. Suddenly we might have a feeling. Suddenly we might want to do something. Well, that's a combination of the devil and our flesh getting stirred up. But you don't have to do it. You can stop right there and say, whoa, wait a second, this is temptation. And when that happens, we need to flee the temptation. But we need to understand this. But, you know, so often, again, because the enemy is so subtle, we don't realize what's happening. But a lot of this is going on in our heads. So, you know, there you are and you're faced with a situation and suddenly there's the thought like, well, just, you know, don't worry about what the Bible says about that. Don't think about that right now. Don't pay any attention to what, you know, God's word has to say. That's the enemy. That's Satan. He's speaking to you. He's holding this out here going, hey, no, check this out. No, don't think about what the Bible says. No, don't do that. Here, just look at this. Or just go for this. But then there's also, you know, a little step further where we begin to question God's word on an issue. And when that happens, that's the enemy. Did God really say that you can't do this or that? I mean, after all, doesn't God really ultimately just want you to be happy? Doesn't he want you to experience love and joy? And would God keep you back from this? Because this is going to make you happy, right? So this is what happens. These kinds of things go on in our head. And then there's the thought that we start rationalizing. We start saying, well, I know God said this. Well, but you know, we don't really know what he meant. You know, he said this so long ago. It probably meant something else back then. The big argument coming out of the gay community today is that, oh, well, you know, the Bible talks about this. It's not really the same thing. It's not talking about what we are experiencing here in the 21st century. That was a different thing that they were saying back then that you shouldn't do. But they weren't talking about, you know, really being in love and really, you know, no, that's a rationalization. And whether it be that issue or any other thing that we start to rationalize and start to say, well, you know, you have to understand the Bible culturally. You know, back in that culture, that's why they said it, because it was a cultural thing. But today, that it doesn't really apply because the culture's different. That's a rationalization. Those are all ways that Satan tempts us. So, how do we avoid temptation? Well, like I said, in one sense, you can't avoid it because it's just going to come. And if the truth be told, God allows us to be tempted at times. He allows us to be tempted at times because it's through our resisting of the temptation that we grow stronger. But either way, in one sense, you can't totally avoid it. But you need to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a vulnerable place. Now, how to avoid temptation? Number one, have a realistic view of yourself. Recognize your own weaknesses. Have a realistic view of yourself. Know who you are. Know what your strengths are. Know what your weaknesses are. Know where you're vulnerable. Know where you can't go. That's just common sense. That's wisdom. A person who has had a lifelong struggle with alcohol addiction does not go hang around in a place where there's going to be a strong temptation back into that. Or a drug addiction or a sexual addiction or whatever those kinds of things are. You know that, okay, this is an area where I'm weak. I can't handle it. Know that. Be honest about it. Be realistic about it. Recognize your own weaknesses and avoid those kinds of things. Now, secondly, stay as far away from compromising situations as possible. Now, putting it back in the context here of 1 Corinthians, this is what they were not doing. And that's why Paul said to them in verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. These guys were putting themselves in a compromising situation. What were they doing? Remember, they were eating the meals at the idol's temple. But they were proud, thinking that, hey, it's never going to affect me. This is never going to bother me. I could never get caught up in this. No way. I'm too spiritual. I'm too mature. You know, I've got control over this. But that's the wrong mentality. Because guess what? You're no match for the devil. He can take you and tie you in a knot before you can blink. And there's nothing you can do about it. Apart from the power of Christ and apart from submitting to him. And we're no match for sin. You know, the person who says, oh, that, I would never do that. I could never. Man, watch it. Watch out. Because the moment, as Paul says, the moment you think you stand, you better take heed lest you fall. The moment you say, I could never give in to that. I could never succumb to that. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, I can check out that. I can look at that. That doesn't affect me at all. Who are you kidding? You're kidding no one but yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Sin is more powerful than we are. It can take us captive. And the only power that can free us from sin is the power of Christ. And so we have to stay as far away from compromising situations as possible. So that's how we avoid temptation. Don't go where you know you've got to struggle. Don't go there. Stay as far away from there as possible. Just don't go there. It's off limits, period. Doesn't matter who else is going. Doesn't matter who else is doing it. You know, some people have liberty to do things that other people don't. That's a fact of life as a Christian. Some people can go places and participate in things, and, you know, some people can watch things or read things, and it doesn't affect them. But for you, it's a different story. You know, I love all kinds of music. I really do. I've always loved all kinds of music. And I listen to all kinds of music. But, you know, there's certain music I just will not listen to. And not a style. I'm not talking about a style. But there's certain artists I won't listen to. Because all I got to do is listen to that song. And boom, it just transports me right back to a sinful situation. Because that was the soundtrack to our sinful lives. So I just don't listen to it. I just like, you know what? Nah, I'll listen to this instead. I'll listen to other things, but I won't listen to that. And so it's that kind of thing where we just have to recognize, no, I can't go there. I'm not going to mess with that, period. So thirdly and finally, how to overcome temptation. Well, again, remember what he says here in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Remember this. You're not experiencing anything that everybody else hasn't in one way or another experienced. We all go through the same kinds of things. So it's the common experience of all people to be tempted in some way or another. It's the common lot of man. So our situation is not unique. It's not extraordinary. And he says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. This is so important to know. There's nothing that's going to come our way that we do not have through Christ the power to resist and to overcome. Because God's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we were able. But you say, oh, but no, you don't understand. It was so overpowering. There was nothing I could do about it. Yes, you could have. You could have. And next time you can, but make sure you don't put yourself there. But if you end up there, that's the thing you need to know. Right at that moment, there's a way out of this. God promised not to allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able. I do not have to succumb to this. I do not have to give in to this. I can right now resist this through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't do it through my own power, but I can do it through the power of Jesus Christ. And as we're told in places, and I mentioned before, in some cases, we've got to actually flee from the situation. So he says, then finally, he says, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God will show us the way out. He'll give us the way out. We need to be looking for that. Lord, help, get me out of here. And boom, take the exit, whatever he shows you. But like I said, don't necessarily put yourself there. But then one other passage real quickly, James 4:7, it says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, resist him. What we so often do is we don't resist. We don't really put up a fight. We just kind of succumb. We just give in. But we've got to resist. But what do? Before we resist even, we submit to God. As I'm submitting to God, then I'm, at the same time, I'm going to resist the devil. Because God's telling me to do something. The devil's suggesting I do something else. And as I submit to God, I'm doing what God says. So I do what God says. And again, you know, it's so important. So often, you know how we're trapped? You know how we... You know how we get into these predicaments is we go with how we feel at the moment instead of what God said to do at the moment. God gave us his word. It's objective. It's outside of us. Everything inside of us says, oh no, do this. I feel this way. Oh, but I feel. The Bible says, don't do it. Doesn't matter how you feel. That's not the issue. That's why God gave us the Bible, because we're not going to be able to trust how we feel. And sometimes our feelings will deceive us. And, you know, I don't know all the things that the devil can do. I don't know all the things that demons can do. But I am of the persuasion that they can do sometimes more things than we realize. And sometimes they can, I think, even give you feelings. They can impose their feelings on you. I remember one time years ago, as I was going through a real difficult challenge in my life with an illness, I remember suddenly having this urge in me to rip my Bible to shreds. Now, I didn't want to rip my Bible to shreds, but I was having feelings like, you should rip this Bible up. Just throw it away. So, are you okay with that? I didn't do it. But my point is this, I was tempted to do it. Here's one that's a little easier to handle. I was a young pastor, and I was going out between our services, out in, you know, the area where the people were coming into the church, and there was a young family coming up, walking up, a husband, a wife, and a couple kids, and they're walking toward me, and as they're walking toward me, I had this sudden urge, like, punch that guy in the face. Just punch him as hard as you can in the face. Granted, that's weird. I will admit, that's weird. But I didn't want to punch him in the face, but man, I felt this strong urge to do it. I didn't do it, of course. I shook his hand. I welcomed him. Glad you came to church today. But you know, I'm so glad my Bible said you shall not punch people in the face who come to church on Sunday morning. No, but you understand what I'm saying. God's given us his word. It's objective. It's outside of us because we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. We can have feelings that feel so right, but they're wrong. How do we know they're wrong? How could it be wrong because I feel this way? It's wrong because God said it's wrong. And God's the one who made everything, and he made us, and the rules don't change just because we feel a certain way. So we submit to God. We resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, in my experience, he doesn't always flee immediately, unfortunately. But as we continue to submit to God, and as we continue to resist, he will flee. So, in closing, succumbing to temptation is usually rooted in two things. Number one, forgetting the seriousness of sin. We so easily forget how serious sin is, don't we? How can I keep in my mind the seriousness of sin? Well, let Jesus on the cross be a reminder to you of how God really feels about sin. Because the Bible tells us when we sin willfully, blatantly like that, what we're really doing is like we're crucifying Jesus over and over again. That's not a good thing. Jesus was on that cross dying that horrific death as a criminal because of our sin. So when we're tempted to sin and we're tempted to think lightly of sin, we have to think of the cross. This is what sin leads to. This is what it resulted in. It resulted in the death of the Son of God. Secondly, it's forgetting God's great love for us. Forgetting God's great love for us. How can we sin against such love? We need to be as Paul was. We need to let the love of Christ constrain us to do what is right and refuse to do what is wrong. How can I do this? How could I? This is like Joseph, you know, he was such a man of godly character when he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife. And this is so far back in history. Joseph has, you know, much less revelation than we have. But what does he say when he's tempted by Potiphar's wife? He says, how could I do this evil in the sight of my God? You see, he was thinking about God. Oh, this would offend God. This would hurt God. This would break the heart of God, my Father. I can't do it. And that's what we need to do. Let that love keep you, keep me from succumbing to temptation.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-7425. 6443 and request the message entitled Overcoming Temptation, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0207. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And please, include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.